Hey everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nissan Vest Tea Talk Podcast. Hope everybody's feeling good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, it's Jummah today, and we're here to recreate in podcast form what happened last year at my local mosque sister circle, where a few of us got together and we were able to run a session on all things halal personal finance. Whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me with what further questions they had so that I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me, and let's get started. Hi everybody, thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Nisa Invest Tea Talk Podcast. I hope everybody had a wonderful Eid and a blessed Ramadan. We're back on regular scheduled programming. Now, before we get into the topic of taxes, I want to just almost put it out there that the tax year can in of itself be looked at as a new chance for New Year's resolutions. A lot of things reset on the tax year, and it is useful to start to appreciate that that date can also mean something for the way that you organize your finances. And what's really great is that you, subhanAllah, you start to make use of what's called the fresh start effect. Now, when you're starting off of a blank sheet of paper, you're excited, it holds so much promise, and it can have a lot of motivation. The way I organize it in my head, I think about the 1st of January, then I think about the 6th of April, which is the start of the tax year, and then I kind of think about the summer, so June, July, August. My spending tends to be a bit different over that period, and I definitely use August as a period of a bit of a reset. In the past, I've tried to do an August no spend month, which has actually been quite useful because you're able to kind of reset your budget, think about how much you're going to be spending the rest of the year and what else you need to be doing. So yeah, I use kind of August as a bit of as a way to bookend the summer. And then September, I definitely use it again as like another January. And so really, it's just three chunks. So January 1st, April 6th, the bank holiday weekend of August going into September. Because, you know, it's the start of the new school year. And also if you're at work, all your colleagues are back from holidays. It kind of does almost serve as its own fresh start, and there's so much benefits from the fresh start effect. So that's kind of what I'm trying to conjure with this episode where we're talking about taxes, so we can get going. Now, as a bit of an intro, when you think about taxes, there are two broad types. So we have direct taxes and we have indirect taxes. Now, direct taxes are those that we pay for directly out of our income and out of our profits. There are two types of income. So there's your salaried income, and dividends count as income as well. They're just referred to as dividend income because you're paid a dividend out of a business. The business is giving money back to its shareholders. And then you've got tax on wealth, so that can be the tax that's on property, and also the tax on your stocks and shares as they grow in value. I mentioned tax on property, that's related to stamp duty, land tax, and then there's also the tax on corporations. So thinking about it as, okay, we've got direct taxes on one side, we've got indirect taxes on the other. So this episode's mainly talking about direct taxes. There is income, and then there is profit. And when we're thinking about income, we can go even further than that and talk about income tax. Now, if you're a salaried employee, the two taxes that you see on your payslip are income tax, national insurance contributions. I don't know why there are all these acronyms, but when we talk about income tax, in the UK, we call it an e-tax, so pay as you earn. So that means that you're paying the tax every payslip. In the US, that's similar, but it's called a W-2 employee, I guess, because the tax form is called W-2. And that also refers to salaried employees. The opposite of being a pay-as-you-earn employee is, for example, if you owned your own business, you were self-employed, and the way that you earned the money is also, you know, it might be through dividends, it might be through something else. And so there you go. So I talked about income tax. Then there is national insurance contributions or social security. Now, national insurance is also something that comes through and is dependent on how much money you earn. And so the way national insurance and income tax differ is to do with the purpose of it. So national insurance, these are contributions directly for you to use benefits such as the state pension. So your national insurance contributions directly impact how much state pension you'll be eligible for once you retire. So if I had to list out all the taxes that we will touch on in this episode, it's income tax and national insurance contributions, and those are the ones that are related to your payslip. Then you've got dividend income tax and capital gains tax, and those are related to any assets that you own that are stocks and shares. Then there's corporation tax if you're a business. And then stamp duty land tax is any property that you sold. So if we had to group them together, I would group income tax and national insurance together. I would then group dividend income tax and capital gains tax kind of together. Corporation tax I'd put to one side as well. And then stamp duty land tax I would put to one side too. And so let's start just discussing income tax, because I feel like that's the main thing, because the question talks about taxes and tax returns. Now, when we think about income tax, really there are three numbers to remember in terms of what tax brackets are. So the first tax bracket that exists is called the basic rate, which is 20%. And then you've got the higher rate, which is 40%. And then you have the additional rate, which is 45%. Now that refers to the rate at which the money is taxed. So you should never think about it as I'm someone that gets taxed 40% or I'm someone that gets taxed 45%. It's just about the money that you bring in. Each pound is going to get taxed at a particular rate. And the rate that at which it gets taxed on depends on which band it falls into. And to get technical, the UK operates what's called a progressive tax system, which means that as someone in a given tax year starts to earn more money, the rate at which that additional money gets taxed increases. I don't know how it gets smoothed out, but that's kind of how it works. So the way the tax system kind of works is you just have to think about what are the deductions, what are the allowances. Now, this is the first time I'm going to introduce the first allowance, which is the personal allowance. Now, the personal allowance determines when someone starts to pay tax. Now, the personal allowance in the UK is £12,570. So what does that mean? It means that for the first £12,570 someone earns as a pay-as-you-earn employee is tax-free, meaning that the 20% doesn't even apply to the first 12,570. Now, this is actually what your tax code basically says. Now, the vast majority of the population is on what's called a 1257L tax code. And it's effectively the personal allowance minus the zero at the end and the letter L. So if you've ever wondered, so I have my payslip, I want to check if I'm paying the right amount of tax, or I want to check that my tax code is correct, that's what you want to check. And you might be thinking, what could possibly be wrong with my tax code? That's a good point. If you are not on the 1257L tax code, what you want to check is not necessarily whether that number is wrong. You want to check if you are on what's called an emergency tax code, which is if at the end of your tax code, you've got the letters MI, UI, or X. It's very common to have the letter X as a like emergency tax code. And oftentimes that means it's because perhaps you've changed job recently, or something to that effect, where HMRC, which is His Majesty's Revenue and Customs, the government entity that collects tax, they just couldn't figure out how much you were earning to be able to determine your tax rate. So quite frankly, if you've got an L at the end and no letters after that, you're good. Now, what impacts the 1257L, like the 1257? The number portion refers to how much of your personal allowance you yourself have, you're eligible for. And what might reduce your personal allowance? It just means that you earn more than £100,000. I haven't yet talked about the tax thresholds, so I just talked about the 20%, 40%, and 45%. Before I talk about what falls into each one, maybe I'll just talk about your personal allowance, which was the 12,570 at the start. Now, if you are someone who earns above £100,000 a year, you end up starting to lose your personal allowance for any money above that that you... The rule there is that your personal allowance gets reduced by £1 for every £2 you earn over £100,000. So in practice, that means that if the personal allowance is 12,570, someone who earns £125,140 a year uses up all of their personal allowance, which means they no longer have a personal allowance. If that's your situation, your tax code just ends up being 0T, most likely. It will just have a zero, which means that you have no personal allowance. Why is that number £125,140 something to think about? Is because that is actually related to the tax bands. So if I go back to the tax bands, I said, so the first 12,570 is your personal allowance, meaning that you don't get taxed on that amount. Then you start earning more, and up until 37,740, that is the amount that is within the basic rate tax band. So remember how I said it's progressive? It's 12,570 plus 37,770. Someone who earns up to 50,270, which is the 20% tax rate, a tax band plus the personal allowance, they get taxed 20% on that 37,700 that fits into the basic rate tax band. And they still have access to their full personal allowance because that's still less than £100,000. Then you get to the next band, which is the 40% tax rate band, and that is between anything above 37,770 all the way up to 125,140. So it captures basically everybody who still has some element of personal allowance in calculating their taxable income. And there you go. So if you are in that tax bracket, you have to be aware that if you earned over £100,000, you will start to lose a bit of your personal allowance, which means that your tax code is not going to be saying 1257L. That number at the start will be lower because you're starting to lose some of your personal allowance as you're earning above £100,000. And then if you're earning more than that, and you are in what's called the additional rate band, if you start to earn, the money that you earn above that starts to get taxed at 45%. So in reality, when it comes to us knowing what our tax code is, it is effectively just informing us of how much personal allowance that we have and where is it that we fall into. And then on top of that, you want to just make sure that it's got an L at the end. And if it doesn't, and it's got other letters after, it means you're an emergency tax code and you want to reach out to HMRC and check that. Now, because I've talked about the tax code at this point, I'll just mention here that you can check what your tax code is on your payslip, but you can also confirm this online by going on the HMRC website and signing up to what's called a personal tax account, which is where you eventually will be able to file a tax return, but it's also where you can check exactly how much taxable income HMRC believes that you have, especially from whatever employer. So I really, that is really the be all and end all of when we talk about tax codes and tax bans and tax returns. Now I mentioned the personal allowance, which is the first allowance that I talked about. Now, the second part of this podcast, I'm going to talk about other allowances, other tax deductions. And when it comes to talking about tax and what the government can do to manipulate how much it taxes or doesn't tax different parts of the economy or different types of income that people earn, is by adjusting these allowances. So the way in which they get adjusted will impact people differently. And there are a whole host of allowances out there. And so for the rest of this episode, I'm gonna just go through the most common tax allowances there are. And then in the third part of this episode, I'm just going to talk about exactly what is it that you need to remember and kind of logistically, what does that look like throughout the year? So when someone says that they're very tax efficient, it means that they are making the most of the relevant tax allowances that there are. It simply means making sure that your taxable income isn't higher than it needs to be because you have followed the rules and made the most of the tax allowances that exist. I have here six main tax allowances. Now, the order in which I'm going through them is also important. So, because I almost want to make it like almost try to recreate exactly when you are able to make the most of them. So let's say that you are someone who is a pay-as-you-earn employee, so you get a pay slip every month. Now, on there, you've got your pre-tax income, and then you've got your post-tax income, which is the money that then hits your bank account. Depending on if your company has benefits and other sorts of things, you might see those deductions as well. But if we think about just the main tax ones, the first big allowance that exists is a whopping £60,000, and that is your pension allowance. So the pension allowance effectively says that you can put aside up to £60,000 a year of your income before it hits your bank account that will be exempt from tax by choosing to put it into a pension. Now, the absolute amount isn't so important, the £60,000. It's just the fact that there is that amount available for you to put into a pension so that you reduce your taxable income. Now, the reason for why it's tax-free is, of course, because it obviously motivates people to want to do that, because it is not only are you investing that money and you'll see that money grow, but if given the first tax ban that you'll hit after earning 12,570, which is your personal allowance, is the 20% tax ban, which is the next 37,700, you can reduce the amount of taxable income that you have if some of that money had, before it hit your bank account, went into your pension. So even if you, let's say, earned £40,000 a year and you have a tax personal allowance of 12,570, but you put in, let's say, a certain amount of money every month, you know, if, like, let's say you put in £500 into your pension every month, that reduces your taxable income by £6,000 that year because you've put in £500 every month. And so that's how the pension allowance works. So that's the first allowance, which is your pension allowance, which is the first point at which you can start to be more tax efficient. Then there is another allowance that is also kind of free from income tax, which is called the trading allowance, which is also referred to as full relief. The amount is £1,000, and that basically means that if you have a side hustle where you earn less than £1,000 each year, you don't have to declare that. If the income is higher than that, you do have to declare that income, and that's where you're probably better off setting up some kind of business for that income. But if you get that money into your personal bank account, that first £1,000 doesn't need to be declared in a tax return, because, you know, that first £1,000 is free of tax. Another one is people who own their home and they also have the benefit of having a spare room. They can up to £7,500 for that room without that income being subject to tax. And so the benefit of declaring that through self-assessment, it means that that money won't be subject to tax. So those two, the trading allowance and the rent-a-room scheme, that's if you're making money outside of your payslip. And the reason I mention that is any kind of side hustle of that sort that is over a certain amount is when it makes sense to have a business, because then you'll be more tax efficient. So those were the first three. And if you can see, those are all relating to actual income, right? Then let's say that that income has hit your bank account. So now we're talking about post-tax income. So let's say you've earned your payslip. If you spend that money, that gets subject to indirect taxes like VAT, whatever. So let's ignore that. But what if you give that money away? So let's say you give it to a charity. That amount can be increased by 25% through gift aid. So gift aid is also an allowance, because what it's saying is that some of your taxable income will instead go towards increasing your donation. So in your tax return, you would be declaring that actually I've donated this amount to charity and I have at least 25% of that donation, I've paid an equivalent amount of tax. That means that the government can't, you know, use that tax money to do whatever it was supposed to do with that money. Instead, you'll have 25% on top of that donation through gift aid. So that's also a reason to declare it through a tax return. And that's called like the gift aid allowance. Moving on. So you've spent it, you've given it to charity. Let's say you've now have money to invest or money to save. Now, that's where we get the next allowance, which is your ISA allowance, which is your individual savings allowance. That's why it's called ISA. So your individual savings allowance, if that amount is £20,000. So what tax are you trying to be efficient about if you use your ISA allowance? What you're trying to do is know that if you instead invested it outside of your ISA, and let's say you invested in a halal index fund, that money, inshallah, will grow over time. However, when you get to the point where you sell those stocks, you will be hit with capital gains tax, which is the tax on wealth. So instead, however, if you took that money and instead started investing it, but through an ISA account, that allows you to make sure that any gains that you get are free of capital gains tax when you eventually withdraw that money. So that's the fifth allowance. Remember when I mentioned the personal allowance, which is when you have the 12,570 that you have to begin with? Now, spouses can give up to 10% of their personal allowance to their spouse, and that is as a way to reduce the overall tax burden on the couple. Also, there's also the blind person's allowance, which increases the personal allowance by 2,870 as well. So the reason I mention all of these is because that is exactly what you end up seeing when you start to file your tax return. It asks you how you've earned any income that you've earned throughout the year, so that you're able to accurately calculate what your taxable earnings should be. And why is that relevant to your ISA? Of course, it means that if, alhamdulillah, you max out your £20,000 ISA allowance in a given year, you are then maybe, you do also, you know, children also have a £9,000 a year junior ISA allowance, so that all that income also doesn't get subject to tax. Let's say you max that out. At that point, you start having to declare at your dividends so that you're able to make the most of the 1,000 dividend income allowance. Similarly, if you start to invest outside of your ISA and you end up selling those stocks, that as well, you also have an allowance there, which is the capital gains allowance, which in this tax year is now £3,000. In the previous tax year was £6,000. It's been reduced now to £3,000, and it's going to be reduced even further down to £1,000. Now, the reason I mention those is simply basically to say that as you go down in order, there will get to a point where there will be no allowances available to you to make the most of. But what's interesting to note is that these allowances refresh every year. You want to make the most of all of the allowances each year, knowing they'll refresh each time. If you want to be investing, especially if you're investing for your kids and that money is aside for your children, that's when you want to maybe make the use of a junior ISA. Equally, you might end up starting to think, okay, I have the pension allowance, and there's a difference between the pension allowance and your ISA, because your ISA is only there to protect you from capital gains and dividend income. It doesn't protect you from reducing your taxable income at source. Instead, that is investing through your pension allows you to avoid income tax at the start. However, one thing you have to note is that pensions get taxed on their way out. So when you start to withdraw a pension, if you withdraw over a certain amount, you do end up getting taxed on that. So that is the difference between the two. It's kind of whether you're getting taxed when you take the money out or whether you're getting taxed when you're putting the money in. And this episode is the next part, which is exactly what does this mean to you. So my first thing I would say is that if you haven't looked at what your tax code is recently, you'll get a fresh one in April this year. Your next payslip will say that it's going to be month one of the tax year, and check what your tax code is. Now, where do tax returns fall into? So if we know that 6th of April each year is the start of the new tax year, that means that the 2023-24 tax year has just ended. Now, when is it that you're supposed to file a tax return for that year that's just ended? It is delayed up until the 31st of January. So for the tax year 2023-2024 that ended on the 5th of April 2024, that tax return is due on the 31st of January 2025. So you can look back at the income that you've earned and think whether or not there is additional income that you have to declare. However, the main point of the new tax year beginning for all of us is knowing that our allowances are all refreshed. So opening an investment ISA, you know that the amount that you have available to invest is now reset to £20,000. So you can start from there. Equally, we know that your personal allowance has refreshed to £12,570. I think the first consideration for you is your pension allowance, making the most of putting money through your pension to reduce your taxable income. And similarly, if you're someone who has a side hustle, even though there is the trading allowance, you might want to consider reporting it separately through a company. And it is important to also make the most of ISAs, because if you buy and sell shares outside of ISAs, you will incur a capital gains tax bill too. So the big consideration there is to make sure that our savings and our investments are within the ISA wrapper. And so there you go. If the tax year has just ended, there is another form that I want to mention, which is called the P60. And the P60 is useful because it's a summary of how much tax you've paid that tax year. And so for the tax year that's just ended in 2024, most people will get their P60 ready. I get it usually in October, and that's the form that you can use to help you fill out your tax return that is due on the 31st of January. And if you go on the website, it will actually ask you, do I need to file a tax return? And it will effectively be listing all of these allowances and asking you if, for example, you've earned over £1,000 in your income, or whether you've rented out your room, whether you are married, whether you earned over a certain amount in dividends. And so, especially for the dividend question and your trading allowance question, you just want to make sure that you've been using ISAs and that you have a separate company for your side hustles. And then that way you can confidently fill out the self-assessment and know that, you know, you're not going to get a nasty surprise from HMRC. And so when I say that you have to do it online, that is through the personal tax account. That's what it's called over on HMRC. You can make an account online through Government Gateway. Like you get a specific number and your own password. And so, yeah, of course, it's also quite interesting if you're into politics to try to ask yourself, what kind of behavior is the government trying to encourage through these taxes, or what does it mean for society? Who is paying for these taxes? It's effectively what allowances are given to which people who fall into specific groups. Kind of the politics aside, it's more to just make sure that, you know, we all just want to be paying the amount of tax we owe, not more and not less. So making sure that we're on the right tax code, making sure that we make the most of the ISA allowances, and that we consider maxing out our pension contributions before needing to put our savings into ISAs. All of that helps us be tax efficient. That's, I think, a good place to end this episode. Thanks so much for joining me. This has been the NISA Invest Tea Talk podcast. I will see you next Jamal. Bye for now.